extra cinnamon, extra cinnamon. That's all I asked for, a little extra cinnamon. Is that too much to ask, Larry? Come on. Larry. You explain these things like Zoom is any reason why you can't get the order right, and then you come in here, you know, you got the mask and the tongs like I asked, but I thought I asked also for you to draw a cute little face on your face mask. I thought that would be great around the office. You see that Rob drew one on his.
I got a little bear. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know. We promised ourselves to give this one a chance, but I don't know. Larry, you got to need to be digging in a little bit. Digging
deep,
into that cinema.
Because if coronavirus means one thing, it's that the kind of edusploitation that we do here when we give you an internship is more than justified, because otherwise you're going to be like those other 34 million people who are out of work. And on top of that, I will still not have cinnamon in my latte.
I know. Yeah,
and
I mean,
equal crimes.
People are kind of taking advantage of our third degree program. You know, it's, yeah, they get a degree out of it, but it's there in the title. It's not an easy program. It's not meant to be easy.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like the great big blister that we draw on their diplomas when they get them. The third degree is meant to be that. Just like the Inquisition we put them under for them to do the completion, complete with the coals. I bought all those coals. I want to use them so
That's
we can
right.
give someone the third degree, but I don't know.
Yeah, I thought our drive-by graduation for the last batch, I thought it worked out pretty well. You know, it was too bad that the fire department had to show up, but
well, we shouldn't have been using.
I think it's memorable. It certainly
we shouldn't have
memorable.
Been using those cannons to shoot the diplomas at them. I think maybe our use of drive-by was a little too literal. I think that was the problem.
It's like with the T-shirts. The T-shirts are a big kind of ball, and they slow it down. But the diplomas,
so.
Yeah, they were.
They
it
caught
was like
fire.
Much higher velocity when it got to people. So,
well,
yeah.
that was that was a miscalculation from our last failed intern Sophie. She was using that physics modeling software, and the fire. I wouldn't pay for the fire physics. So I guess she could have anticipated that.
So she, yeah. Well, you know.
Hey, Rob, in today's show, I want to talk about, I don't know if I told you about this, but I want to talk about William Gillespie.
Nailed, darling.
Yeah,
so we just got William Gillespie's co-authored kids book in-house here called The Wreck of the Good Ship Lollipop, I think. I'm probably
That's delightful.
It looks fantastic. Anyway, yeah, but yeah, go ahead. What do you want to talk about? Because I could drop that in too. I mean, I'll get the real title for the show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I think you should definitely mention that. You know, there are a few stories we should keep out, but William Gillespie. You know, I mean, I think a lot of our listeners will know him from The Unknown, and also from that very popular 1970s Belgian boy band.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll have to do our kind of, you know, some newcomers might not know about The Unknown, but, you know, we'll just do, I don't know, one sentence or two sentence thing. You know, it's like a collaborative online project, one of the first awarded online fiction projects. And
an early hypertext that existed
early
on the web
yeah.
that was performative and
funny
autobiographical.
Smart.
Yeah.
William was
right.
Fantastic writing in that.
I mean, kind of a reality.
Yeah, whole...
Would you call that reality fiction writing? I mean, in some ways, right? They kind of made themselves into like larger than life characters. It was a little bit like a cross between that Steve Coogan that, you know, where they travel around.
The trip. That's right. That's a good comparison. Yeah, it's very much like that because, yeah, they were promoting a real life. There was a real life anthology of fiction they had done, and they were going to do a real life book tour. But you drop those writers, Scott Rippert, William Gillespie,
Dirk Stratton.
It's embarrassing. Dirk Stratton, yes. And then there was one other that started it that they always say, but
right.
I only knew those three. And apologies to the other person.
The fifth Beatle.
They started to play around and just kind of one up each other with rock and roll tour tales, harrowing tales from the road in this blog, and it just took off and became this fantastic work of fiction. And
I feel like Monstrous Weather was probably the netprov we did that was closest to that. For some reason, Monstrous Weather feels very much like has affinities with the unknown.
Well, people really took that instruction in Monstrous Weather to like play off of each other's
persona.
Posts. They really did that. Jeremy Haidt kind of led the way on that. But yeah, man. Okay, give me just like 5-10 minutes to before we do the show to get William Gillespie back in my head, because I would love to do just a big William Gillespie hunk.
He runs Spineless Books. Well, here, let me tell you where I saw him first and see if you think any of this would be good for the show. So there was a conference called Neuroscope that's currently ongoing, and it's running online out of the University of Illinois, I think.
Okay.
And part of that, it's mostly interactive fiction writing and its orientation.
Okay.
But they had these pre-conference workshops yesterday, which I had forgotten I had signed up for. And William, as it turns out, was running one of these.
Oh, okay.
And in true William...
I saw your text about that, but I was busy with something else. But yeah, what was that like?
Well, in true William form, like, you can never quite tell if this is like, is he playing a joke on the conference? Is he playing a joke on life? Is life playing a joke on him? You know, like, you're never quite sure where there's something at play all of the time with William, right? So he's like, he's not even an Andy Kaufman because he doesn't go to open mics, right?
Right.
He is just, you encounter him in the wild and he's pure, he's walking that line that's so fun to watch.
He's always
right?
doing something super smart and super interesting.
Yeah. And it's where like there's that twinkle in the eye that lets you know that like there's something more at play, right? So his panel was calling something like literature as game or something like that. And the way he opened it was talking about being in quarantine with all of these books behind them. And he said, if only he could play them like games. And so the example he gave was The Great Gatsby. What if you could play The Great Gatsby as a game? And then it became unclear whether he was talking about, you know, because he had actually led into this with books like Rayuela and I don't know if you mentioned Tristram Shandy, but, you know, books or I don't know about
Life. Rayuela is like, what is the, that's hopscotch in English, right?
Yeah. By Cortázar.
And that's that's where you like bounce around from chapter to chapter. And at the end of each chapter, it says, go to page something else. And you bounce around that book, right? Is that kind of what it is?
It would be great if it were that cool. It's actually more like you can read the book in this order or you could read the book in this order. There are two different orders. So I think it gets credited for like a lot of novelty, but it only has like a little bit of novelty, to be honest.
Yeah.
But in any case, and then he mentioned Choose Your Own Adventure. So at first it sounds like he's talking about game books is what what the Choose Your Own Adventures are called.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then it becomes clear that, like, after he starts talking about Gatsby, that he's not actually talking about that. Like, and he's not really talking about reading the book, like, flipping back and forth in pages. It's like imagining the book to be the source for a game you would play, basically a game adaptation of the book.
Okay.
And so then what he did was he started all these breakout groups for most of his session. I mean, that's where it really is amusing. It reminds me of stuff that you do, but like the workshop was mostly us talking in these small groups, and we arbitrarily chose a book or a work of literature that we would turn into a game.
But let me just see if I'm on track, but it sounds like you're talking about kind of when a Star Wars game comes out. It's not exact. It's based in the Star Wars universe. It uses the same characters, but it's kind of different. So he's talking about your game is to the book as like that kind of.
I would say that, except because it's William, there was an encouragement, I think, to take the heart of the book and to adapt it. Not just to do transmedia, but to find like what makes that book so interesting.
An adaptation kind of, it sounds like. I'll write that down. Adaptation, I think that's a good word.
So I'll give you one that I really enjoyed that another group made, which was Animal Farm Crossing.
Awesome.
They took the game Animal Crossing that a lot of people are playing in quarantine and said that instead of like you're running this farm to your, you know, to your own prosperity, instead you were toiling, you know, endlessly in this on this agrarian, workers camp to the profit of these, you know, pigs or fat cats, whomever, who are gleaning all the profit from your work.
That's fantastic.
Or they're harvesting all the profit from your work.
That's fantastic.
And then my group, okay. And one group decided to do Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is funny because it's one of my favorite books.
One of your beloved books. Yeah.
Already been turned into a game. And they had some mechanic that was based on tangents, which was really enjoyable, where you just you keep following tangents to other tangents, that was the nature of the game. And then my group, we chose A Midsummer Night's Dream because someone had done a game jam on Hamlet. And so I said, well, let's pick another Shakespeare work then. So we pick A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so in addition to role-playing, which you might imagine, we had basically a core mechanic that was based on the game Werewolf, which takes place one night at a time.
Okay.
So where every night the characters wake up next to a different romantic partner. And then, so a lot of the game is just about shipping or creating these romantic couplings that, that could exist in the story world. And then there was one more mechanic, which was based on the characters that are called the mechanics, I think, or the performers within A Midsummer Night's Dream. Their gameplay.
Oh, they're a guild. Yeah, they're in some kind of guild. They're like carpenters or something. I forget.
Yeah. So they're,
I'll look that up.
If you play them, your goal is you just keep staging different plays, I guess, based on familiar romances, well-known romances. Like I think we used the romance from Twilight as an example.
Okay.
And then there's a Quince character who's basically arbitrating, judging everything, judging the quality of that performance and maybe judging the romances. Oh, and then I think we also wanted to have some nobles who were also judging everybody, judging all the quality of the hookups.
They were kind of like the jury or something.
And then to totally solidify that this was a Shakespearean game, every once in a while the game would, in that there's all this chaos created by the Pan character, every once in a while the game would totally change its mechanic that was arbitrarily or that was whole hog lifted from, plagiarized from a different game, chess or Old Maid or whatever, and just superimposed upon the game.
That's so fantastic. Did that have a title?
No, but I feel like we need,
that's
Summer Night's role playing game. I don't know. I don't feel it.
Yeah. If we weren't building up to doing, Fantasy Spoils again, I'd say that would be a great summer netprov.
Oh yeah.
Some version of that. But hang on to that. It's would the people you co-developed that with, would they get upset if we produced it as a,
I mean, I think we could certainly credit them. I mean, we could develop it anyway. There's actually a Narrowscope game jam where we could develop that right now if you would like. But I'm getting off track.
Okay.
Because my point is not
Snail Darting.
My point, yeah, we're still there. He is our friend Snail Dart McGee.
Yeah,
he's moving.
Just checking my watch. Okay.
Hey, it's almost time for the show. The thing I want to tell you though is
yes,
the point is not that game itself has value, but that William's game he made us play had value.
It was brilliant. That's yes.
Right. So imagine.
Make sure and build up to that. Yeah. Don't write that down. Larry, can you, are you, oh, Larry's not, it's talking about Animal Crossing. Larry's playing Animal Crossing. Okay. Very good.
Well, Larry, I hope he's disinfecting those animals before.
You're on the clock now, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, but we'll remember it. Yeah.
I think a pig crossed with a sheep, I think is an unholy crossing. I think you're going down a bad road there. I really
like that because it's like that, again, this vision that I have of a netprov platform where it's basically you and your friends plus the featured players, plus us and the featured players, and that's what you see. But I love that idea that each of the groups comes up with their own kind of concept, that you could do that if you, if you're several months in and people kind of have the rhythm of netprov, you could have them do that. And then, then compare and cross compare and have people share them. And that would be fantastic.
And also, I think there's a brilliant
practical question. I know,
Go ahead.
Larry's waving up at the, pointing at the clock. Yeah, we do have to wrap it up. But I have one practical question just before the end. But just before we go on.
Finish what you're saying. The end of my thought was, but there was a certain brilliance. Like, there was also, like, an Emperor's New Clothes aspect to William's presentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, keep in mind, this was like the other workshops were like, how to use this programming language, how to use this programming platform, how to use this how to teach this programming platform. And William was like, hey, here's a thought experiment. Do this in a group. It'll be fun. Or it'll be valuable. And we did it. And like, his presentation was maybe like 10, 15 minutes. And then people went off, they did the thing, they came back, they shared, everybody had such a good time, and everybody got something out of it. And again, that was the brilliance that,
yes,
I remember, we'll talk about today.
That's perfect. Okay, yeah, it's like let's play. Like, that's our, you know, that's what our hats and t-shirts and stuff, it's that same attitude. Let's play.
Oh, I thought why does mine say less play?
I thought we got rid of those. I thought we could go to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, yours says let's play. Less play. Damn it. Anyway, yeah. What was your thing though?
My quick question is, okay, just the next time we talk with the attorney, I want to, you know, I know we get tons more money for placements that seem really natural in the flow of things.
Yeah.
But like, the thing I've got to try to work into the podcast today is Burke Family Dentistry of Canton, Ohio. And it's like it's going to sound fake. And I just, I'm afraid, you know, like on radio shows and stuff, they'll just read, you know, if it's a live read, they read a little announcement, thanks to our sponsors. But I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be tough to make that sound natural. I'll be talking about William Gillespie. And then, you know, I wonder if some of the people at that conference could make use of Burke Family Dentistry.
I came across this book at Burke Family Dentistry.
There you go. Okay. I'm glad I asked. Okay.
Maybe something like that, or
yeah, the book you see behind me, even though we're just an audio thing, the book you see behind me on my Zoom bookshelf is.
Or what if we do one of those like word association thing? Hey Rob, one way I like to come up with new ideas is I like to like see what words come to mind. So like if I said family dentistry, what would come to your mind?
I would think of Burke Family Dentistry of Canton, Ohio.
Okay. And if you thought of quality procedures you could get there for just a little bit over your copay, what procedures would you think of?
It might occur to me to think orthodontia, basic cleaning, and replacement fillings.
Yeah.
Something like that. I have to make sure that that's actually stuff that they do. Larry, Larry, could you get the services list from Burke for me? No. Under there. No. Yeah, that's the one. Okay.
Rob, all remember, right. We don't cover dental for interns. So don't.
No, that's true. Yeah, I don't want to make him think. Yeah, that doesn't apply to you.
They couldn't go. I mean, Larry's not going to any Burke Family Dentistry. No, that's for sure. He's not getting quality fillings made out of amalgam or a combination of metal.
I suppose we could say that if it's Larry's last day, but I don't know.
It might be Larry's last day.
Larry's last day.
Yeesh. Larry. Well, that sounds good. I mean, I think we know what we're going to talk about.
Yep, I think I'm ready. I got to go take a leak and get my good headphones on. And
okay. Oh, I'm getting another call. I'm going to have to go. It's Burke Family Dentistry. I gotta get this.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry.
All right.